other stuff, including the CCC. And I'm very happy that two cool people from Bits and Bäume are here today. Rainer Rehak, who is scientific collaborator on digitalization and participation at the Weizenbaum Institute for Connected Society. And because that is not enough, he's also co-chair of the Forum Computer Scientists for Peace, Forum Informatikerin für Frieden in German. Und gesellschaftliche Verantwortung, so societal responsibility as well. And also Anja Höfner works on new economy, social and ecological costs of new technologies. Please welcome them with a hand of applause. Yes, hello, welcome, and hello from our side to our presentation, No Fun on Your Device on a Dead Planet, which is also the 38C3 Bits and Bäume look back over the year in review for 2024. We are Anja and Rainer from Bits and Bäume. Bits and Bäume was already introduced a little bit, so I'm not going to say more about that, then we have more time for other things. So I work at the Konzeptwerk Neue Ökonomie. We are a basis democratic collective based in Leipzig, and we work on how economy can be equitable, ecological. And I'm Rainer, and together with Anja, we are in the steering circle of the collective Bits and Bäume, and now we're going to show you some information. So, if we look on digitalization and sustainability, which are the two big topics that Bits and Bäume tries to combine, and you might be wondering why. So here's some extracts from headlines from the past few months. What kind of subjects are happening here? So this starts with resource mining, which has been discussed a lot for a while already. For digital devices, we need a lot of resources. This is coming from countries of the global south into Germany. And there's lithium being mined in Germany now again. And this leads to protests, not just in Germany, but also elsewhere. Then the big topic is AI. Doesn't stay away from us. The question is, so AI needs even more energy and resources. So the question is, can we use this to solve environmental problems by using artificial intelligence more? It's also about the construction of new chip manufacturing plants and what this means for the economy locally, and also digital policy questions such as the digital product passport. And all of these subjects are being discussed in the media, and we at Bits and Bäume are working on this nexus of digitalization and sustainability. Those are two huge topics, has a lot of different aspects, and is moving on a lot of different layers. So one of them that I just already talked about is definitely energy usage and electricity usage. So if we look at a data center as one part of this infrastructure, then we can say that we already need today data centers in Germany already use about 4% of Germany's electricity, and this is more than all of Berlin. Or here we have one big data center, and it needs about as much electricity as one big city. And this is going to increase further, especially when AI is being used more. So a hyperscale data center doesn't just need energy in form of electricity, it also needs a lot of water, about 2 million liters of water per day. This is as much as 17,000 people in Berlin. So if you're calculating 100 liters of fresh water per day, then resources at the beginning of the chain of supply chain. Then we need a lot of materials in a smartphone, about 60, I think, and they're often built into the smartphone in a way that it can't be recycled. And the mining of this is often combined with conflicts. This map here is an extract from the Environmental Justice Atlas, where global conflicts and resource mining is shown. And the orange points here are just a part of it. And these are the conflicts that come from mining ores, which are needed for digital devices. And this doesn't stop at the end of the supply chain. There's also a lot of topics at this interface between ecological costs and digital devices, because the topic of e-waste. We produce per year 62 million tons of e-waste. This is 6,000 Eiffel Towers worth, just to try to make that into a number you can comprehend. And if you distribute that per person, that's 8 kilograms per person on average, but this is, of course, distributed very unequally globally. So if you look at the different continents, you can see the per capita generation of e-waste, and you can see that Europe is at the top with 17 kilos, and the countries of the global north produce a lot more e-waste per person than the countries of the global south. And now you might be wondering, what is going on with AI? Well, the estimate is that AI already today is responsible for 10 to 20% of the electricity usage in data centers. So it is making, in all of these areas, including the conflicts that exist, it makes it worse. And up to until 2030, the energy usage of AI will probably double again, which will mean that the total electricity usage of data centers might triple until then. So what is the idea of this organization or joint thing? So we have on the other way around, if you assume that the air is clean and the rivers are clean, but we still work in a hierarchical world with power imbalances. So you want an analog and digital world that's worth living in. So where the analog and digital come together, we are worried about clean air and clean water, but also a clean digital ecosystem. And that's where things flow together and create a joint vision. And there are several problems in these subject areas which are already connected. You can say this is the ecological thing, this is the digital thing. For instance, renewable energies. If we have to build up the electricity grids so that the more volatile energy sources, wind and solar, can be equalized and distributed. So the digital networks also have to be built in such a way that they provide certain security. Or the question of supply chains that we've already seen now. How do these digital devices, where do they come from, where do they go? But also legal questions such as licenses and patents. So to the same degree that we on Congress work on what a free digital world with free licenses can come about, you can ask the same questions on things like genome patents or other patents, even agricultural machines, so that there's no way to repair them on your own. So this is all connected very closely, but also economic questions in general. How do we want to have our economy? How do we want to distribute things? Who has access to the network and who doesn't have access? All of these questions are connected, including conditions of working conditions. We've already heard that the working conditions when producing these devices are problematic, but also the other way around, you can say, what do the working conditions here look like through the use of digital tools, such as surveillance of employees or training of models to predict them? And you can see that all of these things, if you have a wider understanding of sustainability, they're all connected. And this inherent connection is seen through our all of our partner connections, including the DGB, that's unions, then the CCC, ecological research, Bread for the World, Wikimedia, German Watch, FSFE, a lot of things, organizations are working there, and this combines a lot of competence.
An idea that's nice to think about together, but also to increase its efficiency.
And for instance, if the BUND gets a request how it works with AI and environmental protection, and the other way around, if the FIF gets a question about what's going on with data centers and efficiency, and then you have to say, okay, efficiency alone isn't going to help us if rebound effects keep driving up the total consumption. So we have to have this knowledge exchange and do joint activities and alliances and find ways to communicate and say, so something political is happening here, we have to stage an intervention and bring that together quickly. And the idea of our organization is also to do this on all the subjects. So a lot of people like to think on the conceptual level or about governance and strategies, and other people are very practically minded and just start doing stuff and start producing best practices and show what alternatives could look like, such as the Congress as an example. And we say all of this is very important. There's no right and wrong way to do activism or look at the problems. We need all of these approaches. And then part of this alliance is also to find a joint position. So finding opinions within these different organizations. So for a lot of these, we don't have the same opinion to start with. We have different perspectives, such as on copyright. So one group says everything has to be free and under free licenses and free to get, and the other group says, okay, what are the content creators supposed to live from? And you can't solve all of these problems, but it's good to solve to talk about them and then discuss how are we imagining things, what do we have in mind, and keep other perspectives in mind. And these differences can be discussed, and then you come out of that stronger, because from the BUND to the CCC, everyone together says, okay, this is a great idea. And the same thing is, of course, true for AI advancement or peace or economic questions or whatever. So questions become concrete then. And this is not just how we think about our own basement stuff. In this alliance, we've already had an influence on specific legal things, such as the ecological design thing or supply chain laws or even the Digital Fairness Act. And we want to talk about two specific topics that we worked on this year. One of them is, so I'm going to present one and the other one, Anja, and the first one is tracking. So in 2022, we already wrote in the demands that business models and state models that are based on detailed tracking, micro-targeting, and so on, we completely reject this. It's, of course, interesting to put this demand out there at first, but as you can see, various organizations are behind this, and then it's interesting how you agree on this and can reach different parts of the society with your network. And this then turned into a specific case, especially distributed Netzpolitik.org, and they had categories in the ad industry, so different categories of people or users being tracked, thousands of categories that were categorized as people to serve ads to them. And then in February, we had this Bitzenbäumer spring evening where we presented these insights that we had, and then we talked about what can we do there. And as the alliance, we published this position paper where we describe how this kind of profiling is a danger for democracy and the climate. So we demand a ban on this microprofiling. To make this a bit more specific, so the categories that were published there were, for instance, who in France likes to drink alcoholic beverages, who in France has the browser language set to Arabic, or who has a bad credit rating, or who is divorced, who has breast cancer, or who cares for people who have breast cancer, or had, or who has diabetes or eating disorders. And you can see that you can reconstruct a lot of things about people who are vulnerable in different ways to target them. And as we then elaborate in the paper, the main arguments against this manipulation, so individual manipulation of shopping and also elections, but election manipulation also shows that there's a big data protection problem, because there are a lot of very few players that are doing this. So we have huge power asymmetries, who has this data and who doesn't have it. So this then leads to polarized discussions. If I talk directly to people and then they take this little bit of data there with them. And then all of these data categories can be used to train big models, and this just exacerbates the problem. And these companies are often big tech in the US, so this creates more dependencies. And then last but not least, the climate damage through all of this infrastructure. So the latest good number was from 2016, 107 terawatt hours. So that's twice the usage of Portugal just for online advertising. And then on top of this, not only the infrastructure has huge climate impact, but also if we have this potential to manipulate people to change their shopping habits, of course, this means people consume more, and then this also has consequences on the environment. Important for us is we are not caring about the individual as much, because we're not saying you should use an ad blocker or whatever. We say this is a systemic problem that needs a systemic answer. And voluntary commitments by the companies never work, so we reject this as well. You could ask, what is the alternative here? Do you want a network, a web without ads? But you can also discuss about different ways to remunerate things or have ads that depend on the context. And those also work, and this doesn't need these huge profiling data. And now we come to the second topic.
All right, we have another topic this year that we worked on. And it's not really complete yet, but it is about the digital infrastructure and control. Why is it important? And how are we organizing about social life and career, about our everyday life? And everything is growing and accumulating. And the question is, who seldom... Who's looking at the data, who is editing the data, who is...
weil man kann digitale Infrastruktur als Produktionsmittel digital...
to create software, they're using this data. And if we look at this worldwide, the most dominating company, that's the cloud service from Amazon. Amazon Web Services, Microsoft Azure, and Google Cloud. And why is this relevant? It's because these are services that are stored somewhere else, and they are building their own computer systems, computer server systems. And when it's built by them and managed by them, and in their total ownership, it's different than previously, when the servers and the storage was stored somewhere else and was only being rented to the big companies. But now that they own all of the hardware and all of the services, they can decide what happens to it. That means there's no democratic control anymore, and that is our perspective fundamentally, as well as the previous topic about tracking, and we find these things very problematic. They're forcing people to log in so that they get their usernames, and then there are no other alternatives. They have
oder es gibt irgendwie bestimmte Pakete, dass
no way to own their data, to take it with them when they go somewhere else to a different service provider. And this makes the problem bigger. It's a huge business-making model. Amazon is earning $100 billion a year. And it's not without social and economic costs. They're not being internalized, but externalized. And they're using these server farms until in Chile. Amazon has server farms that are using really lots of water. And in the Amazon, there's all kinds of protests because it's having a negative effect on the agriculture and the farming. To the topic, on the 20th of October, we had a talk in Frankfurt.
Digitalpolitischen Abend unter dem Motto Wem gehört das Internet, digitale Machteigentum und Demokratisierung digitaler Infrastruktur.
We asked who owns the internet, and
the keynote speakerin zählte auch
the democratization of the internet,
und sie hat zu kolonialen Kontinuitäten und Big Tech Ownership in Afrika gesprochen.
And we talked about Big Tech in Africa, and they wanted to put something online, but then they didn't have access. And now we're going to show a video.
I'm Esther, and I am an artist and also a digital inequalities practitioner. As a methodology to understand invisibility of power structures. So I've been really fascinated by things like internet infrastructure and digital colonialism, because these are concepts that are huge to us. So I'd like to simplify and make that more accessible to grassroots communities. I do this through my artist work, and I also do it as founder of Digital Grassroots, and also through the different fellowships that I have been part of. And so we have Google and Meta being at the top level, the application layer of the internet, but now we're seeing them going into all the layers of the internet, and that makes it goes against the principles of an open internet, and ultimately makes them more or less permanent favorites, which is also leading to a discussion towards the fragmentation of the internet. So if you look at if the reality of the Eurostack happens and China has its own internet, so we see a lot of fragmentation happening, and there will not be a lot of openness and innovation that's really necessary for a free, open, fair, and democratic society. This is where I really want to hone in on the conversation. What we're looking at is Meta's 4,500-kilometer undersea cable. Meta, in a consortium, has built these undersea cables literally around the African continent. And when we think about the scope of this project, it's almost difficult to fathom. To Africa, it is seen as a gift for support to Africa. And it was formerly known as Simba, but they renamed that. And this undersea cable has 45 landing points. Of course, we know with slavery, the landing ports, but this is a whole different ballgame. But the most interesting thing about these undersea cables is that they're just outside the country's jurisdiction. So even with Meta having these and actually cables, local companies would have to connect to them, and those local companies would be the ones that would be paying the tax, or who would be, so Facebook or Meta would not have any legal jurisdiction. So it's really interesting to see that private organizations are owning 99% of cables, and only about 1% of submarine cables are owned or partly owned by a government entity. And this brings us to the question, is the internet a public good? Can the big tech ethically solve the digital divide? And at what cost is the digital evolution? And this is my project called AfroBricks. And we were looking at, is it possible to have both localized and universal infrastructure? Is it possible that tech co-ops can invest and own our own internet infrastructure? And also, it was looking at mesh networks or sound solutions, or generally feeling sad about the state of the world. So this was a project that I did, but ultimately we asked the question, do we want Google here? And so here are some reading recommendations. We'll leave that up for a little bit.
Könnt ihr euch?
You can watch this later again. This was just a little bit. So the talk by Esther was also longer as than the few minutes that we've shown you now. You can watch this later. You'll find the link on our website. And this subject will stay with us definitely because it is super relevant politically. And now Rainer will talk about two other subjects that we want to talk about in the future. Yeah, so this is what we did, and now what we are preparing for is maybe also interesting. One thing is data centers, they're ongoing, so energy is a problem already, energy efficiency, smaller data centers, but also waste heat and heat networks. How can we use this heat? But a new thing is the topic of circular economy. So having circuits of production and after using something that you close the circuit again. And what we start to see is that a lot of companies that produce hardware, they say, oh, that's great. We are doing for ecological reasons. So you just send your device to us, we refurbish it and then sell it again. But for that, you have to register your devices with us and then these resale markets are controlled by the companies themselves, so there's proprietary secondary markets. So we see in the name of environmental protection, the circular economy is being used to extend control over these devices beyond the first usage and to the second, secondary and tertiary usage. So this is something where I think all of us can recoil at the thought because this is just the end game of everything that we don't want at Bitsenbäume. So this was a look at the future, but we've also done a lot of things already and want to show you some things that you can look at later and other things that we work on where you can also get involved. So we have these really great brochures, all these two volumes from the conferences from 2018 and 2022. But they're not just dry conference volumes. They're articles by usually one tech and one ecological person together. And so 2019 is a few years ago, but I think a lot of these things are still very interesting, basic, fundamental things if you're working on digital sustainability. There's conference videos of both of these conferences, of the talks at MediaCCCDE, with thanks to the VOC. And as we already mentioned, we have these this year and last year already, we did these evening events about digital politics. We have had good experiences with those. We want to keep doing them. And as an alliance in the civil society, we are an important voice, including on federal politics level, if there's debates on new laws, for instance. We do policy labs where we invite the politicians who make the decisions. And we've already formulated some demands to the next federal government. We're still in the drafting phase, where it's going to add to the demands that we formulated at the last conferences, but it's going to be again about energy and resources and digitalization, classic tech demands like public money, public goods. And it's also about transparency in digitalization, especially what regards energy use and AI. There will be another talk tomorrow where we'll present this more in more detail. And since the last year, we also started our coordination office where we have even more power to work on subjects. Yes, for conferences, we already mentioned the two big conferences. You might have heard of them, but we also have the option to have regional conferences. And we've had three local conferences of this kind already of BITS employment. We really like those because this makes the topics more visible locally and connects everyone who's active there who might not have known each other as yet. We also have regular tables in several cities that meet regularly. We also have materials and logos and stuff that you can use. We are still looking for funds for the next big conference. If you have ideas for that, please come to us so we can do another cool conference. If you want to get involved, there are several channels that you can subscribe to, such as the newsletter, there's a community list, mailing list, and there's also a Matrix channel. And we are on the C3. It was already announced. We have our own habitat, so BITS and Bäume about freedom habitat. And there are tomorrow and the day after tomorrow more events, community meetups at the times that you can find here. You can find this on the C3 nav, and there's also a signal group that you're welcome to join. So tomorrow evening, there's going to be a presentation by Friederike Hilgebrand, our coordination person, and Constanze Kurz, and they will be talking about the ecological costs of AI. We can warmly recommend this, or even hotly recommend, and our demands will also be explained in more detail there. And that's it. Yeah, so here we have some sources for you, and we've also brought some stickers, and yeah, thanks for now.
Ja, vielen herzlichen Dank.
Yes, thank you very much, Rainer and Anja, and also on all the people that have been working in for BITS and Bäume in the last year, and all of the wonderful publications that they've put out. Are there questions at the moment? I don't see anyone at the microphones. And what is it on cyberspace? How is it? No questions? All right. Well, I have a question, and it is, I'm interested in knowing if there are things that you as Alliance have learned in the last years. A lot, really a lot. Do you want to answer? No, you. I believe what we've learned is good. Okay, sounds funny, but
it's good to listen to each other. So on a lot of subjects, you can't find your position immediately. You have to sit together. What do you dislike about this word and that term? And so digitalization as a new trend where all the hackers said, oh God, digitalization is a trend. But so this is very nice because once you've agreed to it, everyone says you have to be as well organized as the people that you work against. And then if you get questions coming in and you've already discussed about the topics and you speak with one voice, then that's really great. So this talking to each other, listening to each other, taking each other seriously and assume good faith with the other side because you know you're on the same side. This is, it takes work, but it's everyone learns something and it's really nice at the end when you find out, oh, that's what you meant, okay. And a second thing maybe is, no? Okay. So we have a very good mixture of people working full-time or as volunteers, and some people say, well, let's meet at 3 p.m., that's a great time, I'm still working then, and the other people say, well, yeah, I'm still working then, I can't do that. So these are practical problems, but if you take those seriously and consider them, then everyone notices, okay, so with our diversity, it's going to get really nice, not just useful, but also nice. And I would add that I've learned a ton of things. I've also been here for a while, personally, but also for the Alliance, I would say it's very valuable to look beyond your own horizon. So 6 years ago, I would never have come to the Congress, and now I feel really happy here. And it almost feels like home already. And I think it's like this for a lot of people who are in exchange with each other. And I think we've also managed to some extent to combine the best of two worlds, and we've always noticed that in a lot of things we're not that far apart from each other.
Thank you. I thought it was always nice to visit the Bits and Bäume assembly. How is it now? First, thank you very much for your work.
Wo ihr erfolgreich im politischen Raum Einfluss genommen habt, also habt ihr irgendwie, keine Ahnung, Wahlprogramme, Parteiprogramme schon erfolgreich beeinflusst?
Do you have examples where you've successfully had influence politically? So on the electoral programs of the parties or the coalition agreements, we've had some influence, such as the Progressive Coalition. The coalition agreement was called Progress and Sustainability or something like that. And they had a part on sustainability and digitalization. And a lot of things that we discussed, and we know how they ended up there. And you could find a lot of our things back in there. And of course, there was the D-Day in there with D standing for digitalization. So not all of that is from us, but you noticed an influence. And I would even say that, fortunately, we were on there early enough to shape the discourse, the terms that are being talked about, such as ecological transformation and digitalization, not for itself, but it's a means to an end, but which end? So a lot of these concepts we see in the discourse. Of course, you can't suffer from the illusion that if you do work, good work, then it's going to change the power relations. So there are still people who say, yeah, you're right, but we're stronger. So that's also exists, but we have the better party and so on. And we are often used as a reference. So last year we created a study which said that articles published by civil society organizations regarding digitalization and ecology. And so if Bits and Bäume didn't exist, this study wouldn't have been made. So we have an influence on the public debate there. And there's no other alliance in this way, especially not from the civil society. I have two questions in 2 minutes, so please, short questions and short answers, number four. So, in the beginning, you said that data centers use a lot of water. What do they use the water for? And do they get throttled if water is scarce? I don't know if they are being throttled, but it is used for cooling. So, it's being discussed a lot that cooling systems should be made more efficient. Different cooling systems should be used that use less water. So people are working on this, but it's also important at the same time to keep in mind. So even if you make things more efficient or have technological advances, there's still an enormous amount of growth that is still a problem. Yes, and so they often build their data centers where there's a lot of water for them, or we can start seeing this in Mexico and Finland and so on. They build them where the operators have political influence so that they get enough water. So the problem isn't just that they don't have enough water, the problem is that they have the top priority when water gets scarce, and this is a huge problem. And yeah, I've not heard anything of throttling the water access. And examples that you could do, like high temperature cooling and so on, there are ideas, but it's not really worth it so in this economic system, because these costs are not internalized. And so you can see a benefit in it, but data centers will only do it if they're in the public focus for some reason, because they want to build it in a certain area, and then there will be a sports square on top of the data center, and they go selling sausage at the city festival. So that's how they do their PR. But this is not a systemic approach. Thank you. And the last question from number one. I'll try to be quick. You've shown things that could be summarized as digitalization keeps growing and wanders in all sorts of directions. And we try to direct it. Could you call that bits against trees or trees against bits? Do you have projects that use digitization to protect the environment and sustainability? There's a lot of need for that as well. Is that in scope for you? I would say, yeah, it is in scope. We have 11 different organizations doing a lot of different things. I would say that the focus is on what you described first, but there are projects that are more like the other side. So especially the BUND is also looking at using AI for environmental protection, but at the same time, so this we've been accused of being against technology. We often hear that, but I think this is something that's uncomfortable, but we try not to be bits against trees. There are areas where we say without digitization, this is not possible. So if we want 100% renewable energies, we are not going to manage this without digital technology. But the question is, can we, or do we really need this for all the areas of our lives in which this currently exists, or are there other ways? And I think this work is really, so if the hackers from CCC to, I'll just say, until Wikimedia often have the situation that the tech people describe, okay, we see the technology the way that it currently is. So from GAFAM or G-Mafia or whatever you want to call it, it's being provided. It doesn't have to be this way. Technology doesn't have to look this way. Look at how we've built it. And then often other people notice, oh, you can also do this in a cool way. And so I wouldn't say it's bits against trees, it's more like critical bits and trees against the growth bits. So it's not oriented against each other, it's a question of how can we build the world as a whole more like Congress. And I don't just mean that everything is nice and comfortable, but also that break times are kept in mind. Invisible care work is kept in mind. So the way that we think about this and conceptualize it, everyone wins. But what we don't want is this power concentration, which is burning the planet and doesn't help anyone else. So that's why I don't see it as this contrary movement. And there's also, we can talk about this afterwards, but there are really cool projects about how you can do climate protection with digital tools, but what you always have to, even bird protection areas, which are being defined by tracking bird flight through big data. So there's super interesting stuff there. We'll talk about it later, but we have to ensure that rebound effects of the ordinary economic system don't eat up these improvements. So our approach is we want to have the cool technology, but cool in our interest. So it can be low-tech stuff, like all of this cool stuff that's being dreamt up here. And the BUND also likes this stuff after they understand how it works. Yeah, so about the short answers, we'll have to practice this again, but I have gotten a signal that I'm allowed to do one thing that you can only do with the last talk at the day. I am allowed to ask one more question from cyberspace.
Die Frage lautet,
and the question is, where do we get Bits and Bäume t-shirts? From the next conference, which we also have to work together for. So, yeah, on the next conference, or if you have a time machine, go back to the last conference. We had a few left over. I don't know where they ended up, but the logos are on the website, even as SVGs available, so you can print them yourselves. Some people wanted to have PDFs. I'm not going to say anything more, but we all learn from each other. And so now you can do it yourself, but if there's a lot of demand, then write us and we'll get it organized somehow. All right, then thank you very much to you for being here tonight, and a big round of applause for Anja und Rainer.
Thanks for listening.